When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Forever Dog.
This is the Texas Trust for Public Broadcasting. You've been listening to an audio transcript of Gunsmoke. And now a new program, Paint With Me, hosted by former President George W. Bush.
How you doing, folks? I'm President George W. Bush. We got the easel right here. This is a canvas that you paint on. Got a little brush. You just dip it in here. So we're just going to dab here, and you just probably want to paint. You start out with a nice blue sky. I like a blue sky. Need a little bit of green in there. Paint some brush. And then maybe there's some folks around, just some people. I'm painting. I remain confident. I remain satisfied with what it looks like. Right now, there's just a blob. I think maybe there should be some light. The sky is clear. And at this point, you want to start to paint in, I don't know, beautiful cityscape. You want to start to paint in stuff that's out there. A city that might be scared. Maybe it's a little bit too liberal. All kinds of colors go into it. And it's morning time. You got light coming up. And you start to see, what does that look like? There's a couple of buildings, some big towers. And look at that. You just paint it. If you paint, then that's what painting is. We're starting to see some towers. There's a couple of ones that are bigger than the other ones. They're nice and gray, but sometimes the light hits them and there's... When light hits something, it becomes light. That's what our science understands. So now we got these towers coming up, and there's a whole bunch of people. They're just showing up to work. You could draw them. They could look like a happy little people. But if from a certain distance and a certain level of power, any kind of individual person, you don't need to care what they actually look like or what their lives are all about. They're just dots. They're just little sticks, whatever they're doing. It doesn't matter if they keep doing it or if they're, oops, something happens. Maybe they're not going to do it much longer. As long as it's for a bigger cause. And as long as nobody knows how it happened. So now we've got these big towers, morning time, all these people showing up. And then, uh-oh, a couple of planes, rip, zip. Bam, 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 bam. Now you're going to put blood, orange, big pile of smoke. You definitely want to have... the defense fighter pilot planes. They're coming to save the day. You got Air Force. And Air Force has airplanes. But you're going to tell them to stand down. So those planes actually don't do anything. They come in, but then you just kind of swipe them out and they turn around. So you put little arrows. They go back out. They let it keep happening. And then the towers, oop. Uh-oh. Towers come down. And it's going to be tremendous smoke. Some of it's going to be radioactive. And you're not going to want people to ask too many questions about that. So you want to, then you want to dip in a different kind of paint here, and then it's going to start covering up what happened. And we're going to make sure that we go back and redo the towers falling down, but this time they fall. Look, it could have happened to anybody. Uh-oh, maybe the towers fell down the stairs. You draw some stairs, and the towers fell down. What you're drawing is excuses. Nobody's going to ask no question. You're president. You're president of paint. And then what you draw in after that, there's a bunch of people crying and screaming and, uh-oh, some of them died. Now we're going to draw in a new regime of power. And that involves, here it is, draw a little eagle up in the sky and then a circle around it. And the eagle's holding on to some pencils in its legs or he's grabbing some claws. Pencils and claws. And then he drew, so there it is, Homeland Security, He's an eagle. There's always an eagle in a circle. And now all the people down there, whatever survived, whatever of them, they start doing whatever the eagle tells them. So where there was once tower, now there is power. Now it's just fun. You start having horns come out of the smoke figures. And then you're maybe off in the way background, there's the sun. And the sun sees through it all. You just draw the sun. He's orange. He's got eyes that never stop looking at you. And his eyes are scary. Just make the dots in the eyes and they stare. They stare. They see exactly what happened, but it's the sun. What's it going to do? So there's the sun and it's crying. And it's looking at this up, down, upside down. And it just looks like a whole, it's a sunshiny nightmare. And that's just, I mean, that's just, to me, that's art. And you leave it a little bit raw. You don't explain everything. It's just up there. And then, I don't know, just for fun on the way out, here, get a little bit of red paint. Just throw it at the canvas. That ought to teach some motherfuckers. And you can make more. You can, if you wake up screaming, what did I do? What did I do? Make a painting. 3 a.m., make a painting. If it's noon and you hadn't slept in 40 hours, make a painting. If you sleep, great. Wake up and paint it again. You can always just paint it, put it in there. And now it's fine. It looks like a nightmare, but it looks like the truth. And you can sell something like this for $500,000. Somebody down at the golf course, they got money like that. See if you can make a painting like this and go sell it. Anyway, join us next time. We will be, maybe we'll be drawing Fallujah. Bye.
Who are they? Who indeed are these? Shunned by society? Forbidden from the walls of the sacred castles? They were the sonorous outcast scions of a doomed civilization. They lived among us. They walked at night. They were the underculture. The underculture. The underculture. They were the underculture. They were the underculture.
Unbelievable! It's the Underculture Podcast. I'm James Adomian. We are having so much fun. This is episode 5. We are, by any measure, we're a month in. I mean, you could say 4, you're not quite. 6, you're well into it. But 5, I mean, this is, we're a full-ass month into this podcast, and I'm having a lot of fun. That was an unbelievable leak that we got from, that was actually sent to us from a retired editor at the Texas Public Broadcasting Corporation. I guess I should not have. Oops. I just pulled a Glenn Greenwald. I just accidentally let. Now they can identify him. Uh-oh. Well, that was just an unused George W. Bush painting series. Maybe it's going to be coming out soon. I don't know. Maybe they're shelving it. Maybe they're going to try to, you know, come up with a different angle. But George W. Bush, terrible president. But as a painter, ranks right up there with Matisse. I mean, people have compared some of his sketches to Da Vinci. Hi, folks. I'm James Adomian. Thank you for being here. We're having so much fun here on Forever Dog. I've been making the rounds. I've been doing other podcasts on Forever Dog. You've heard some of them. You will be hearing some of them. Really recently, I was on Need to Fail. Which was so fun, where I got to talk about an epic stand-up disaster that is mentioned on my stand-up album from 2012, Low Hanging Fruit, but we got into it in more detail here. My infamous Joan Rivers story. So you can hear that on Need to Fail. Seek Treatment. We recorded that, and it just came out. Seek Treatment, what a fun, fun show. It was gay. It was gay. It was glam. We saw the stage lights. We heard the pop of the cameras. It felt like old showbiz. That was a fun time. And that was fun to do that in New York. And it's fun. You know, it's nice that Forever Dog spans the continent like some kind of Horace Greeley editorial from the 1870s. A podcast network that shall span the continent. Yes, I, Horace Greeley, will be running for president against Ulysses S. Grant, savior of the Republic. The last guy to go up against him surrendered at Appomattox. Horace Greeley is a complex historical figure, but one of my favorite things is that he was the one, no one would run against Ulysses S. Grant. And he was like, well, somebody's got to. I guess a comically bald newspaper man will. He did. Horace Greeley looked like he looked like he had been bullied and thrown into a pile of newspapers. And then they were like, now this person now will run for president. I know you tune into this podcast for my hot satire about Gilded Age figures like Horace Greeley. It's Pride Month, folks, and that's the serious thing I want to talk about. This is a gay forward podcast. We've done some things that aren't gay, but it was always in a threesome context. I'm a gay. You should know that. I'm proud. If you're lesbian, bisexual, transgendered, queer, if you identify as intersex or asexual, you're welcome at Forever Dog. And unlike a lot of these major corporations, I'm not astroturfing my pride message. Let me tell you what my pride plans are. I'm going to be doing a bunch of bar shows around Los Angeles. Yeah, I'm not astroturfing my pride message. I'm on the ground. I'm on the ground working a couple of gay bits into a 10 or 15 minute stand-up set. I'm on the ground. I'm doing the work. I'll be at Blam 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 at our bar on June 11th. I'll be at Plan C at the York in Highland Park on June 12th. And you know what else I'm going to be doing? I'm going to be going to see a lot of fucking movies. But you know, I do understand that it's not enough. I mean, Pride isn't what it started out as. It started out as a militant, we won't be pushed around anymore movement that came out of Stonewall and the Black Cat and the uprisings of the gay and the queer communities of the late 60s and early 70s. And there's been through a lot of struggles. But as we all know, Pride has grown up now. And now it's primarily a way for beer companies and internet vacation companies to advertise things with rainbows in their logos. And so we're trying to jump on that board. We're trying to honor both traditions, like gay, like yes, like stand up for yourself, like don't be pushed around. But also, we want to jump on this corporate version of Pride. We don't want to be left behind. So this month, we're going to be trying something out, a Pride promotion to compete with these major corporations. We're going to be spraying rainbow mist with this audio podcast. There will be a little rainbow mist that sprays into your earbuds. I call them earbuds. You'll be walking around, you'll take them out. They look stupid anyway. You'll take them out and you'll be like, oh, what is this? Rainbow blood coming out of my ears? Not exactly. It's a promotional mist that looks like rainbow blood, but it's for Pride. So we're exploding. We're exploding. There's a little bit of explosion. So if you have sensitive ears or ears that are human in nature, you might want to hold the earbuds away from your ears this month only, just until you hear that promotional mist dump of rainbow pride mist that's coming out of the underculture. And when you hear that and when it splatters your ears, you go, you know what? I feel proud. In all seriousness, enjoy your pride and be safe wherever you are. And you know what? I hope we're going to have so much fun this month. This week, we've got some great stuff coming up. I've got a couple of guests. The song at the end, I'm really excited about. We have a Joe Biden promo for his campaign song. We got our fingers on that. But first, we have this. It was released to us. A lot of stuff comes to us in our online Dropbox, which is on Patreon only. The only way people are able to get in touch with us in any way at all is on Patreon. But this was a physical, actually, somebody threw this through the window of the Forever Dog office. It hit the window down a floor below us. So our neighbors were good enough to bring it up a couple of weeks. But there was no return address, except it just said in scrawled pencil, in like charcoal pencil, it said, Cabo San Lucas. And there were two bricks, and in between the bricks was an audio tape. It was an old, like a Teddy Ruxpin audio tape that had been recorded over with what is, was apparently like some underground bootleg interview. And I pieced it in. Let's listen to it. I think it's from Governor Jesse Ventura. And I think it's pretty recent. I think for some reason he's disseminating stuff on Teddy Ruxpin audio cassettes. So let's hear it. This is I listened to the first 20 minutes of it. I haven't vetted this. So let's listen to this. This is great. We've got Jesse Ventura, who apparently is a secret shadow friend of the show, who sent us this interview. And he's got Shaquille O'Neal on it. So I'm excited to hear how it ends.
We're broadcasting to the secure channel.
Hitman 2-3, Echo 5, Foxtrot. This is Hitman 2 Actual. You are approved to engage in 5 mics.
Yep, it's encrypted and only decodable by Bitcoin.
2-3, be advised, we have a visual on enemy paratroopers.
Yep, you got it. Transmitting on all receivers. This is the Governor, Jesse, the Governor Ventura. You can also think of me as the mind. You can have affection towards me as the heart, Jesse the Heart Ventura. And look, if you're stimulated, you can think of me as Jesse the Body Ventura. This is a podcast. This is the pod, according to Jesse. It's the weekend podcast that's version of my program on Russia Today on the YouTube channel, on RT. This podcast is a little looser. Look, we're not going to hold ourselves to the rigorous standards that the YouTube show is held to. This one we're going to cut a little bit looser, and we're going to have, you know, a little more fun. Maybe we're going to dip into some things that may or may not be true. Hey, we're going to take a look outside of politics. I've got a rich history, and I want to address this because people have been asking questions. And I think I opened a Pandora's box, or maybe in a way, it was a Sorcerer's Apprentice situation where I said, hey, I'm asking questions. And that has led to a phenomenon of so many of you out there, so many of you little puny punks out there, so many of you jobbers out there that are saying, oh, he asks questions, therefore I'm going to ask questions. Ask the questions, but don't expect an answer. There's a limit to the number of questions I'm able to answer. I'm significantly off-grid. That means that I have an hour of social media every month, and I'm trying to cram in there, like, the number of Twitter fights I've got to schedule. I have to settle scores. I have to log into multiple fake Facebook accounts that I have to leave negative comments on Vince McMahon's posts. I don't have time to answer all the questions. So ask all you want, but you better step in line. I'm telling you that. I'm going on tour soon. I'm still living in Mexico. We're still living in Mexico. I'm going on tour just around the different Cabo San Lucas. We're going to be going from senior frogs to senior frogs. Look, some people take day jobs. I'm taking a night job because I have to keep the house in Cabo, and I've got to keep the house in Minneapolis and the one up in Moose Lake. We've got a fishing lodge up in Moose Lake. So there's a significant amount of expenditures I've got as a lifestyle as a former governor of Minnesota. So yes, I've taken a night job. I'm going around senior frogs with a whistle, and I'm making people take shots. I don't drink the way that I used to, but if you're down vacationing in Cabo, maybe some other cities in Mexico, you never know. I might appear from the shadows wearing camouflage and then just go and shake you up with a drink of tequila or something you've never even imagined in your mind. We're joined by guest today here on the pod, according to Jesse, is a fantastic legend in the world of sports entertainment. We've actually never met face to face, but we've blogged several times together. He commented on my blogs. We did some back and forth. We Skyped together. We had some Skype fun. We commented on each other's old matches, or I guess as you would say, games in the sport that he comes from, basketball. But he also has a storied career as a public figure. And when you're famous at a certain age, you almost become famous for being famous. And when that happens, you can just sit back, collect the checks, and make a run of podcasts just to promote whatever it is you're doing that nobody needed. So we're grateful to have him here today. day. He came all the way down here to Mexico to be on this program. Shaquille O'Neal, thank you.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you so much, Jesse. Arriba. I like being down here.
Yep. Hola.
The same.
Hola. Bienvenidos a México.
Donde está tu tarea?
I've been living in Mexico for almost 20 years, and I've got what I would call a command of the language that would rival Cervantes.
Yeah, that's the sign. That's the sign of good living and good work and everything you ever want to do in your life.
So entonces, bienvenidos a Los Cabos.
Gracias.
Gracias indeed. You're a champion. You're a basketball champion.
Four times.
Well, I don't want to brag and toot my own horn or blow my own senior frog's whistle here, but I'm a former AWA tag team champion.
Wow.
In that was a wrestling promotion in the Pacific Northwest.
That's amazing.
As Jesse the Body Ventura.
That's amazing.
Now obviously you play basketball.
Yes, I do.
And you still play, you're retired, but do you still play, you pick it up?
I still get out there. You know, I got two sons that are playing college right now, and one of them's playing in college, the other one's playing in high school. I don't really know how old each of them are. I was just, you know, going around slanging it.
Well, roughly high school age and college.
Roughly high school age and college age, and they're both great. They're both just as tall as I am, very thin. They run like horses.
Very thin. Now obviously you, like me, like a lot of athletes who reach the prime of their you know, you reach the sort of pinnacle of your physiological life cycle.
Yes.
There's some extra pounds that accumulate.
Absolutely. I currently sit at 472 pounds.
That's 470. Wow. That's like a shipment. That's like a shipment of goods to a grocery store.
10% body fat.
You've only got 10% body fat.
Yes.
So that's 430 pounds of pure muscle.
Absolutely. You better believe it.
Well, if the plane goes down, we know which one we're eating first. You had a fantastic career in the National Basketball Association.
Absolutely.
The NBA.
Yes.
When the website for that was the www.NBA.com.
Absolutely. It was posted right on top of the rims. So every time I would dunk, I would be able to see it, you know?
And decide if you were going to log on later.
Yeah, yeah.
Now, you had a storied career at the Lakers. Tell me what it was like to be at the Lakers as the number one talent at the Lakers.
You know, it was a storied time. It was a storied time. It was a storied era. Me, Phil Jackson, Kobe Bryant, Rick Fox, the face. What we called him. He's beautiful.
Rick Fox, a beautiful man.
Beautiful man.
Beautiful man. So beautiful that I wouldn't mind, you know, tagging in and making him tap out.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
When I'm attracted to a man, I suppress it to the point where it becomes a combat desire.
And you have to beat him up.
Well, beat him up or some kind of simulated combat. That's what we do. Now, I assume playing basketball for as long as you did, that elements of it are simulated or heightened in similar way that professional wrestling is.
Yes, absolutely. Sometimes, you know, if you ever saw me dunk on Chris Dudley, dunked right on him, stuck my nuts in his face, pushed him down.
And that was planned.
That was all planned. He knew I was going to do it. And he had to stand there and take it. I'm Shaq.
That was planned. Now, but people say it's fake. People say basketball is fake. I'm sure they said that about wrestling. They don't know what they're talking about.
They don't know.
We got real injuries.
Real injuries.
I've got elbows that feel like a shattered bag of glass at this point.
Yes. You know how my toe was always messed up when I was playing? It's because I used to have a razor blade in my fingers, and I'm going to reach for my toe.
Hey, everybody, this is the B-Man, old BW from the World Record Podcast, and I'm here to let you know that me and my co-host, the A-Train, a.k.a. Hershey Hellman, took over Office Hours live this week. We came into the studio. We made it our own. We wrecked the place. I stole one of Tim Heidecker's guitars. So check out Office Hours live on your podcast app of your choice or at youtube.com/Office Hours Live this week and see what happens. Or go to worldrecordpodcast.com and you can watch the videos or join the Patreon, patreon.com/worldrecordpodcast. Enjoy the show.
It's showtime!
And cut it up a little bit.
Was the razor blade to hurt other players, but then you would accidentally hurt yourself?
Yes. And it's a long way down.
Well, I have a little raptor talon on one of my toes, which is why I was never able to wrestle barefoot like the Samoan SWAT team.
I remember that. I always wondered that when I was a kid. I was like, why does he never take his shoes off?
Well, couldn't do it. couldn't do it. And in fact, I wore a feather boa because dinosaurs have more in common with birds than they do with reptiles.
Learn that. Tyrannosaurus Rex are just big chickens.
They're like big chickens. And in fact, you know, I was cut out of the Jurassic World.
Really?
I was in one of the Jurassic World pictures, but I laid a stinker on set. I did something that I stepped a boundary I shouldn't have. I looked for craft services. I couldn't find any craft services table. And I'm SAG-AFTRA.
Yeah.
I'm SAG-AFTRA. I'm an actor. I was in Abraxas. I was in the Predator documentaries.
Very nice.
So I know how it works on a movie set. There should be craft services. I wandered over. I didn't see what I wanted, and I saw a table laid out. My instinct when I see a table is to crash through it, so I broke the table.
Yeah.
And then I was still hungry. I wanted a little snack before I had my lines in Jurassic World. So I found a couple of little dinosaurs. I found the little Compadnacosauruses.
Those are the small ones.
I grabbed them and I wrung their necks and I ate them like chickens.
Wow.
I ate about four of them. And it was a nice meal. It was filling. They're bigger than they look. They're little dinosaurs, but that's big as far as chicken terms.
I just felt like they shouldn't be by the table if they don't want to be eaten.
That's right. They were hopping around. They would have eaten. Like I said, look, they would have eaten me if I didn't eat them.
Absolutely.
They explained to me that they weren't real dinosaurs because this was the set of Jurassic Park, and so that what I had eaten was actually life-size Henson-style puppets, dinosaur puppets that were made of high-tech glue. There was leather, so there was some protein content, but leather, lots of wood and stuffing. And I just ate it down. I roasted it. I noticed it was on fire a little bit too long and it smelled weird, but I just gulped it down. And that's when I ruined a whole take where the compies were supposed to take over one of the cars in Jurassic World.
You know what I say, Jesse? Everything is good with a little hot sauce.
Now you've been all over the map.
Absolutely.
You've toured. You were in for how long in the Lakers?
I played with the Lakers from 1996 to 2004.
So that's got to be at least 5 years.
It's a little bit over 5 years.
And it seems like it was a lot longer because then you had an extended post-Laker career at multiple other teams. Where were some of the places you played after that?
Let's go before that first. Before the Lakers, I made Magic in Orlando.
You made Magic on the Orlando Magic?
I did.
Now, that's fantastic. Where else were you?
Then I moved to I made Lakes on the Lakers.
You made Lakes. Now, did every team you played for also corresponded to what you did in the city?
Absolutely.
So then after the Lakers, where did you go?
After the Lakers, I heated it up in Miami.
You heated it up because you were on the Miami heat pads?
Yes. And then...
And how long were you at Miami? Because that was almost a flash in a pan.
4 years.
4 years. That was like my tenure at the WWE after it was the WWF.
Exactly. Then I left there.
Miami because it was too hot.
Miami, it was too hot. I heated it up too much.
Heated it up, friction, back and forth.
Then after that, I gave them the sun in Phoenix.
You gave them the sun in Phoenix?
Yes, absolutely.
So you were almost like a sun god, like Ra.
I was. I was the sun god, Ra. Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
I could dig it.
Yes.
If the Egyptian deity Ra comes down and tells me to dig it, you better believe I'm digging it. Because, look, I'm not afraid of most men, but if there's a supernatural, omnipotent creature that's in charge of a Stargate... And then maybe if he talks to you, his eyes roll back in his head and he goes, I am Ra. Okay, I'm doing what he says. It.
And he tells you to dig it. I'm going to dig it.
You're going to dig it. I'll do whatever he wants.
I wanted to put Ra on the back of my jersey, but they wouldn't allow me to do it.
They wouldn't let it.
David Stern, you know, he doesn't like too much flashing.
And David Stern was the manager in charge of which team?
He was the commissioner of the NBA.
The commissioner of the entire NBA?
Of the entire NBA.
So he was the Vince McMahon. Did you have problems with him as far as labor disputes?
Absolutely. He made us wear suits.
He made you wear suits on the court sometimes.
On the court sometimes.
Now, the footage from those games has been censored. You're not allowed to see it because you guys ripped through the suits.
We ripped through the suits. I'm telling you, we were tearing through those gators. We had gator boots on, and we were tearing through them.
Tearing through them, ripping through them. And you were getting them, I'm guessing, at the men's warehouse.
We were. It was...
Did you like the way you looked after?
We did before.
But not after?
Not after, because we ripped them all through.
So the guarantee, did he have to make good on the guarantee?
He did. He had to give us all suits.
That's a large settlement if you have to give new suits to the entire National Basketball Association.
Let me just say, we almost put the men's warehouse out of business. because that's how much we went through those suits.
Well, I guess that's why George Zimmer, is that the founder of Men's Warehouse? Is he the good one or the bad one?
George Zimmer, man, is the bad one.
That's the bad one.
Yeah.
They were so close, but so different.
So close. And yes,
I would sponsor an independent match. I would put them up against each other.
Yeah. Let them fight. You know, George Zimmerman was going to fight DMX, but he got scared.
He got scared.
He did.
By DMX, because he was afraid of riding a bicycle around?
DMX is a rapper.
DMX is a rapper. I'm well aware. DMX is a rapper.
BMX
rap
is a
music artist.
BMX is a bicycle.
BMX is a bicycle. I apologize for any mistake I may have made. So he was supposed to fight George Zimmerman.
He was.
I would sanction that fight.
I would.
I would call it the JWA, the Jesse World Alliance.
Where would you have it? Which arena would you have
it? You would think that I would have crammed the world wrestling in there, but I didn't manage to. I couldn't get it, so it's just the Jesse World Alliance. So it's third-party politics, it's third-party wrestling, any kind of third-party sports events, entertainment.
Absolutely. That sounds beautiful.
I would have you announce it with me at ringside if you wanted to.
I would love to.
Where are you living these days?
Right now I'm living in Atlanta, Georgia.
Atlanta, Georgia. I used to wrestle down at the Omni in downtown Atlanta.
Yeah, the Big Brown.
Yep.
Big Brown is what they used to call it.
They raised it. They raised it to the ground. Now I believe it's a Buffalo Wild Wings or something.
It's a big, huge Buffalo Wild Wings.
Big, giant.
It seats 22,000.
A giant arena full of people eating Buffalo Wild Wings.
Absolutely. My dream.
Did you ever think of making the leap up from basketball to the world of professional wrestling?
I absolutely did. See, Karl Malone and Dennis Rodman both.
I remember Dennis Rodman tried it. I was calling it ringside.
Karl Malone was there too.
You could see Rodman's hair changing color to color.
Immediately.
It was like an airport advertisement screen where it would change. LCD lights.
Rodman and his technical hair. What I like to call it. And I wanted to get him right in with them.
You were going to mix it up. You were going to go for a bump.
Yeah, but David Stern was like, no, you can't do that, Shaq.
He vetoed it.
He vetoed it.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, he's not a
good man. Pandemonium in the ring.
He's not a good man. He's not a good man to me.
He's not a good man.
No, that's why I'm very happy.
Would you mind maybe taking on David Stern the way a lot of wrestlers take on Vince McMahon?
Yeah.
And simulated making the big boss humiliated in the ring?
I wanted to film it. One day I was walking down the tunnel in Los Angeles at the Great Western Forum.
The Great Western Forum.
Yes.
Yeah, I knew it back when it was just the Western Forum because it was where John Wayne used to film his Westerns.
Absolutely. Right there in Englewood.
Yeah.
And I walk in. By the way, John, right next to that is Hollywood Casino where the horses run. John Wayne used to get his horses.
Yep, from used to bet on the horses. Yeah. I go down there, and I bet on the horses, but I make bets exclusively in cryptocurrencies. Nice. So none of them pay off. They all just pay my money back at best because no one else puts bets in.
Absolutely.
In the cryptocurrency slot.
You're a genius.
Yeah, that's the way. You always break even if you're only betting in something nobody else knows how to use.
I'm so happy you're doing that. I got to get in on that.
Do you have any cryptocurrencies?
I do.
Investments?
Actually, thegeneral.com pays me in cryptocurrency. The General pays me in
The General is one of your main sports entertainment avenues now after your retirement from basketball.
It is. I do a lot of commercials for them. Actually, could you help me run some lines real quick?
Yeah, no problem.
All right. So
The General. This is an actor to actor. We're both in SAG-AFTRA.
Absolutely. We're both in SAG-AFTRA. We both pay our dues.
Yeah. I'm inactive. I haven't paid my dues. I'm trying to work it off through Senior Frogs.
Don't say that on the mic. They're listening.
I'm not hiding anything. I'm an open book. I'm an open book, and I've written a bunch of books. I'm an open book that was written with a ghostwriter and is probably writing a lot of slander and against some people that didn't ask for it. So you're telling me. I forgot.
Oh, yeah.
I
need you to read these lines.
Oh, I'm reading you the general.
You're the general, and I'm Shaquille O'Neal. Go ahead.
Okay, so I'm going to just, all right. I'm playing the part of the general.
You are.
Let me get in my character so I can disguise the voice.
Okay.
Maybe if it's good enough, they'll hire me. La mama, la maza, la mama, la maza, la mama, la maza. I do a vocal warm-ups.
Yeah, you took acting class. That's great.
At the general, there's all kinds of problems, and we know how to fix it.
Damn, general. Boy, you crazy.
I may be crazy, but one thing I'm not crazy about, and that's these insurance prices with these damn cars.
Wow, General, you protect me every day.
Shaq, as the general, there's one thing that I am going to draft, and it's you into my insurance for automobiles army.
Reporting for duty, General.
Log on to thegeneral.com today and see if we have an insurance policy that's as good as advertised.
Slam dunk, General.
Hi, it's Elon Musk. I'm purchasing a little ad space on The Underculture because it's the demographic I like to reach, which is weirdos and psychopaths. That's kind of insulting, but you already know that about yourself. Anyway, I've gotten in trouble from influencing stock prices, insider trading from some of my tweets. So we're not going to tweet them anymore. I thought that I would just buy ads on some podcasts that I deeply admire to give similar messages and sort of dare the SEC to come after me before I can drive over the county line in my Tesla. Because as I understand it, that's always a way to get away from law enforcement. Anyway, so here's my message. Am considering taking Tesla private at 420, funding secured. But here's the twist. It's the price point is actually $4.20 because we're rapidly cratering the stock price of Tesla Motors to under $5. And when it hits $4.20, I think we'll be taking it private in a completely different way than we were intending to at first. So that's it. Bye. Life on Earth is largely doomed.
Actor to actor, I've got something I want to work on with you.
Yeah?
I'm doing in the production. I'm trying. I can't do so much combat sports, so I'm doing a wrestling-themed production of True West.
Okay.
The play, the famous play, was written by the famous playwright Sam Shepard.
Okay.
He had a flock of sheep, and then he decided maybe it's time to write some plays.
Wow.
Better to herd actors. It was famously on Broadway, it was John Malkovich and Gary Sinise.
Oh, okay.
And there was a two-man play, and it was True West, and they were just yelling at each other, basically.
Okay.
So I'm trying a book. It's in the St. Paul Repertory Light Opera.
I've been there. I played there one time.
You played a basketball game
during the NBA lockout of 1999. They set up two baskets.
Was it during an operatic performance?
It was almost. It was during the intermission.
The intermission of Don Giovanni.
But then we weren't done yet. We weren't done yet when they came back, so we just had to continue the game while they started the playback. But let's just say I bought the Twin Cities.
My God.
St. Paul.
My God. Holy God. Holy shit. That's an unbelievable cross between sports entertainment and operatic entertainment. That explains why it made the Minnesota Star Tribune, the Minneapolis Star Tribune. I remember when I was governor, production of Don Giovanni. There was, instead of the big monster breaking through the wall, it was a big invasion of basketball players.
Yeah, it was me.
Hopping Shaquille through O'Neal. Like Kool-Aid Man.
It was Shaquille O'Neal.
Unbelievable. I can't believe I didn't post that together.
David Robinson. It's me and David Robinson.
So let's do these sides from True West.
Okay,
I'm trying to book this part.
All right.
Maybe with your help. Hey, which way is West?
West is right over there.
What do you mean? That's where I just came from. I thought that was the East.
Well, sir, you were going the right way. Sometimes you just got to believe in yourself.
What are you telling me? That the way I'm going is the way I shouldn't be going, that I should turn around? Use your damn mind.
Hey, sir, this is a bar. Now, you want a drink? You want to have a chat with me? We can do that.
A True West walks into a bar and you're going to tell me what to do just because you're a bartender?
Absolutely.
Well, I guess that I'll have to tell you to just... Well, I'm not going to say that. You're going to have to F yourself, mister.
Hey, my mother's sitting over there.
Well, then she can go F herself, too, if that's true.
Hey.
Yeah?
My mother... You're sitting over there.
Yeah, well, I guess I'll meet you to settle this. And you can bring your mother and the other bee that you call a mother along with you, and we can settle this right outside.
This is the problem. I don't know which one of these women is my mother.
I don't know which way is West, and you don't know which way is mother.
That's correct.
It's almost like we're both mixed up in two different directions.
Maybe we should both head True West.
Honestly, I think that was better. That was better than Malkovich and Sinise could have pulled off.
John Malkovich, to me, is not a good actor.
Well, I think that he's obviously a wimp.
Yeah, he looks very weak.
If he had gotten a ring with me as the AWA, I would have looked at him as a prey animal. I would have said, there's a jobber. He's here for 1 day, maybe 2 days at max. He's here to collect his dinner money, and then we're going to beat him up, and he's going to be out of the sport.
Yeah, and if I had met him on the basketball court, I would have dunked on him like I did Chris Dudley. Balls in his face, push him down, point at him.
Have you ever thought of doing one of those injury lawsuit places?
I have. I actually have an audition that I already booked.
You already booked it?
Yeah.
You want to read over it to be better at it?
Yeah.
So who is it this time?
In this one, you're Larry H. Parker. And me, I'm Shaquille O'Neal.
No, wait. Are you ready to play this part?
I think I am.
There's a lot of backstory to this one.
Yeah. I'm Shaquille O'Neal, and I've been in an accident.
You're already started. Let me get my reading glasses get my reading glasses. They're like they're steampunk goggles. Hold on. Okay. It's a small print on this one. I've got it up here. All right.
I'm Shaq.
I'm Larry H. Parker. It doesn't have to be a sports entertainment celebrity who's been impacted. Whether they've been impacted with whiplash, whether they've been had a stink face from Yokozuna, whether they've been taken off the top rope, whether somebody took them off the top turnbuckle, whether Kamala the Ugandan butcher pinned them and then didn't hear the bell and just kept going, whether they were slammed 300 pounds straight down from the top rope, that's the Samoan SWAT team, McMahon. You might be injured. You might be injured in any capacity from any one of the four corners of the ring. And let me tell you, the four horsemen are out there, too. It could have been Arn Anderson. And by the looks of the way he's rubbing it, he knows this match is over. He's just begging for it to be over. But you could also be someone as important as four-time NBA champion star Shaquille O'Neal.
That's right. Larry H. Parker got me $20,000. Thank you, Larry.
We don't guarantee that amount for everybody who comes through Larry Parker. In fact, it's a sliding scale that only goes downward. A lot of people have sliding scales about how much you're supposed to pay the person. I have sliding scales about what I'm guaranteeing. And it's less and less and less. Because frankly, more people, I've been practicing law for so long, people start to see my tells and my tricks. It's like a poker player that's been in the game too long. And people in the courtroom can see that I'm going to go left, but I'm really going to go right. And they see what's coming. And the judges and the other lawyers are starting to dunk on me.
Larry H. Parker. The H stands for hell yeah.
Manufacturer's MSRP doesn't apply. MAAPR of 2.1%. Not applicable in the state of Delaware. Georgia's state laws applies. California doesn't even exist. For more information, log on or talk to your local lawyer. Not Larry H. Parker. Not responsible, reprehensible, or even... Wow, that was tough to read at the end, some of the fine print.
You did great with your steampunk glasses.
Let me get them off. Hold on. I'm having a heart attack in the back of my skull.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I just got a knock and it's fine.
Here, put an icy hot patch behind there.
Ooh, that's going to feel good. Hold on. You know, as advertised, it makes you feel good.
Yeah.
Wait, it's cooling it off. It's doing too much of the one thing. It's imbalancing me.
I see to numb the pain. Heat to bring down the swelling.
Shaq, what are you doing to me? I can't get it off.
I see to numb the pain.
No, what are you doing? Wait.
I see to numb the pain.
Wait a minute. Well, hold on, Howard. Are you adopting my voice?
I am.
Wait a minute. How did... What? You're some kind of sorcerer from a terrible place.
Bienvenidos. Mexico.
Abraxas. How did you do this to me?
I am El Chupacabra.
No! No!
That's right. Give me your all. Give me your everything.
Leave me alone. I tap out. I tap out. Wow. Wow. I've never been put in a psychological submission hold like that before. Psychosomatic submission hold. How did you do that?
That's the power of Pine Sol, baby.
That was like Iceman Parsons used to put a poison rag over somebody back in the WWF, and that's how he would cheat. And I called the moves. I called the moves at ringside. I never thought it would be applied to me with an icy hot patch. Shaquille O'Neal, a great friend, a true neighbor, and sometimes my biggest enemy in the world.
I love you, Jesse.
Well, I love you too. It's good to have you down here.
Thank you.
Now, I know you came all the way down, but I don't validate parking.
Oh, no. I parked in a lot that charges 47 pesos a minute.
Well, it's going to add up in pesos, but lucky for you, there's an exchange rate.
Lucky for me, Larry H. Parker got me $20,000.
Yeah, there he goes. He already booked it. You know he's good for it. Will you come back on the show?
Absolutely, anytime.
Great. Well, it's going to be in another secret location because, frankly, I'm going to have to. I'm getting more paranoid as I get older, so after this, I was trying to get to Ecuador. But then they gave up Julian Assange, and I thought that's not safe anymore. So who knows?
They're traitors.
Traitors. Maybe I'll go to Samoa and try to hide up there with the SWAT team, or maybe I'll go to Uganda and see if my old friend Kamala is there.
That's a good idea.
Although I heard Kamala's running for president.
She is.
Hey, it's me, Elon Musk. I just bought some more ad space on The Underculture, the podcast that I hate the most. Because I was very excited to see the movie with Brad Pitt, Ad Astra, that was trending on Twitter today. And I was excited at first because Ad Astra per sanguinem is one of my slogans. It means to the stars through blood, because let's face it, a lot of you are going to have to die to get me to die on Mars. So I saw it. I saw Brad Pitt had kind of lifted my slogan for his movie, Ad Astra, where he's some kind of lesser astronaut, some kind of lesser genius, not quite an Elon Musk, not quite trying to get to Mars to save his subset of humanity, but whatever little Brad Pitt adventure he's going on. So my challenge is I'm issuing a bounty of 12 Bitcoins to anyone who can bring me Brad Pitt, preferably alive, because I want to use him as a ransom to stop this movie from being released. Ad Astra is a slogan of conquest. It is a slogan of cosmic destiny. It must not be used for something as stupid as Fight Club or World War Z or the Lost City of Z. It must be made to take us to Cydonia! Our future is in the red planet! Ad Astra per sanguinem! I'd like to see if that could get trending. I don't think it will, but let's see. Oh my god, yes, here it is. This is the Underculture podcast. It's 7 minutes past the hour. 3 minutes past the hour on the West Coast. This is James Domian. That was Carl Tart. That was me and Carl Tart playing Jesse Ventura and Shaquille O'Neal.
So much fun.
Hi, Carl. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
God damn it. I'm good. I'm happy to have you on here. That was so funny. And I thank you for coming on because you know enough about sports that you can carry me comedically. All I know is the tangential stuff around the sports.
Yeah. That's pretty much... Nobody wants to hear about the in-depth stuff.
Well, they do. But luckily, there's other podcasts to go to for that.
Yeah.
You grew up in L.A. too, right?
I grew up in L.A. I was born in Mississippi, came here when I was 9 years old.
I came here when I was 9 too.
From where?
From Georgia.
Oh, okay. We pretty much got the same trajectory. Where did you grow up, though?
In L.A.?
Yeah.
Westchester and Northridge.
Wait a minute. Did you go to Westchester High School?
No.
Have we talked about this?
I went to LA Baptist High School.
LA Baptist
doesn't exist.
It
got bought by an elementary school.
Where is that? Is that on Fairfax? Like, I mean, on La Brea and Third?
No, that might be West LA Baptist.
Okay,
I don't know for sure where that is. This was up in Northridge by CSUN.
Okay, gotcha. I went to Hamilton High School.
You went to Hamilton
on the West Side.
Yeah.
So I'm from the La Cienega.
Is that what division sports is that in local LA sports?
D1. When I was there, it was D1. Yeah, yeah. We were
City Section, LA
City, City Section. City Section D1.
Yeah.
We were like, what's the other one besides City Section? CIF?
Like Southern Section? Yeah, there's a bunch of them.
We were CIF Division 8 or like way down there, like the last. We were the second to last. So like lower than us, they were like, we don't have a football team. We were like the last one that had a football team.
Okay. So y'all had a full 53-man roster, 11-on-11 football team?
We had 11-on-11, yeah. Yeah, we played the real thing. But yeah, you grew up here. I love it when people grew up in LA. I love it because we're overwhelmed. We're swamped by people who moved here.
Yeah.
As adults.
And who hate it.
Ah, I know.
Like it bums me out. It bums me out how many people come here and just shit on the place. But it's like, why are you doing that? Like, you don't have to come here. You came here because it's better than where you're from.
It's better than where you're from, yeah. I mean, I get it. I know exactly what's wrong with it. I've been here for a long time.
Yeah, man.
It can be boring. Traffic sucks. You don't see your friends as much as you do in some other places.
Yeah.
Whatever. You have to go out of your way to create the stuff. But look, I like things about LA that I don't see anywhere else. I like the way that, I mean, this is just sentimental bullshit, but I like the way the fog smells when it rolls in from the Bologna Creeks.
Yeah.
I like the way the palm trees look. God bless them. They're not going to be around much longer.
Is that true?
Yeah, they're all, they all have a life cycle of like 90 to 100 years, and most of them were planted for the Olympics, I believe, in 1920 or something?
1932. 24. Oh, they were planted, so before
for the earlier Olympics.
Yeah, so the first one that was here was 1932, so that means they planted the trees before they got
That's
here.
That's possible.
Is that what you're
saying? I thought there was a one in the 20s that was here too, before that one.
No, that was the 32nd Olympiad or something, 28th Olympiad.
See, I know you're right.
That's why they built the Coliseum and everything.
The Coliseum was built for the 32 Olympics, right?
Yeah.
So I know that a lot of the palm trees were built for the Olympics to make it like, hey, spruce it up, make it look like Palm Springs.
Yeah.
But they're not native here. They're native to Palm Springs. Just like 2 hours away.
Yeah.
But the sand is different. The dirt's different here. So they don't take root in Los Angeles. So they were all planted artificially.
Are they all going to fall?
Well, most likely they'll get cut down by teams of people that get to it. But also, since there's not a lot of rain and weather, maybe they could just stay up dead for a while.
Yeah.
Nothing is going to knock them over.
Wow.
Damn. Probably drunk drivers will knock them down one by one.
The Santa Anas.
The Santa Anas will knock all the palm trees down.
You know what I love about LA, man? What reminds me, I think it might be the same thing that you just mentioned, the fog rolling in from the Bayonas. It's around Christmas time.
Mm-hmm. When it's kind of cold, but not really cold.
Yeah, it's kind of cold. Like you need a hoodie at night.
Yes.
You know? And it's like, it reminds me of like going to the Fox Hills Mall with my friends and like everybody from the neighborhood being there and that being kind of the hangout at the Fox Hills Mall. And so anytime
the
weather's
Fox Hills Mall.
When it's like crisp outside. And it's like kind of foggy, kind of like misty,
yeah.
You know, like you're getting hit with a little mist, but it ain't raining. It's just misty, just real foggy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is like some LA. I like this about LA.
Yeah.
Like,
you're going to go watch. That means you got friends. You're going to go watch like a Van Damme fight movie and play like Ninja. I'm probably older than you. You're going to play the Ninja Turtles or Simpsons multiplayer game that's at the movie theater. Yeah.
You know, also, and this sounds crazy, but I just now thought of it right now. When we're saying like stuff that makes us feel, I don't like it for too long, but there is a feeling of being in the valley during the summertime. That's like, fucking, it's hot out here. Like this is the valley. Like,
it's right. It's right when you can be like, I'm having my weekend. I like to do this too. I like to take like little inside LA vacations, go to Venice for a weekend.
Yeah.
At a friend's house.
Yeah, yeah.
Go to the valley for like a day and then a night and then stay over and hang out in the valley or whatever.
Yeah.
I like doing my little LA tourism.
That's tight.
But yes, the valley gets so hot that I go like, even if I'm not stoned, I'm like, it feels like I'm really stoned about to watch a Quentin Tarantino movie or something. Because yeah. That's all we did.
That's what it feels like. It feels like you see the streets, like the bubbling of the, you know, like, it's too high. I don't know what that's called.
Well,
the mirage or whatever.
The mirage on the edge of the street. Yeah. And sometimes if it's really hot, then it gets so hot on the asphalt, the buses ripple the asphalt up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Have you ever been in LA and watched an LA movie in the theater and had the crowd go wild?
I haven't. I don't have that experience.
Oh, really? When I was in high school, Boogie Nights came out. When I was a senior in high school, we watched it. We watched it at the movie theater on Ventura Reseda. I forgot where it was. But it was like a late, it was like, you know, a 10 p.m. showing of a 3-hour movie. And so we were watching, and there was this drunk college students there. It's boogie nights. Everyone was there to be like, what? It's the naked movie.
Yeah.
I want to see how big Mark Wahlberg's fake dick is. And then there's a moment in there when there's like a bang bus type scenario. And they interview this guy in the movie and they're like, where do you go? He goes, what do you do? I go to school. Where do you go to school? He goes like, I go to CSUN. And the whole theater was like, yeah, because it was like as close as you could get to CSUN.
Yeah. My mom didn't let me watch that movie.
And really?
I still haven't seen it. I was like 8 when it came out.
But I mean, the ban is, I think the ban has passed.
Yeah. Yeah. I can watch it now, but I just haven't turned it on.
It's worth it if it's on the airplane. Although I don't think that's the kind of movie they play on airplanes.
They're not going to put that on the airplane. Not Boogie Nights and Castaway are two movies they're not going to have on the airplane.
Or
United 93.
Or Airport. Well, I hope you'll come back. I love having you on the show.
It was a pleasure.
It's always great to watch you. I've seen you mostly live, occasionally on podcasts.
Yeah.
You have a podcast right now. It's on a Patreon podcast?
Yes.
Unbelievable.
It's called The Flagrant Ones,
mm-hmm.
and it's hosted by myself and Sean Clements and Hayes Davenport of Hollywood Handbook.
Oh, the guys from Hollywood Handbook.
Yes.
And so you have this podcast, and it's about...
It's a basketball podcast,
which mm-hmm. You know everything.
I was
listening to you in the green room at UCB the other day, just being like, oh, I should know some of this.
No, what we were talking about in there was stupid. But it's I love basketball.
You're a Clippers guy.
I'm a Clipper fan. Like everybody, like every basketball fan, I have hot takes. So, and
everything's better with hot sauce.
Exactly. My hot takes. I don't consider my hot takes to be that bad. I like my hot takes. Cause I just like players. I like players who treat the game with respect and who treat other players with respect. And I like to see the underdog win.
You're an athlete.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have an athlete. So you have a respect for the sport and the game.
Yeah.
And sportsmanship.
Yeah. I like sportsmanship. I like when players like, I mean, you know, we in a shit talking league. I mean, the NBA, we're in a shit talking time, and it's heightened by the internet. Like it really is. Like even players will admit, like social media has changed the way players play. Because now a player will slack off on defense because he's afraid to get embarrassed, and the video is there on Twitter,
holy and Instagram, shit!
Whatever. Yeah,
it's almost like. I think it's just happening in showbiz, but it's happening in sports. It's happening everywhere.
It's happening everywhere.
Holy shit. Somebody was telling me last night that the same thing happens with RuPaul's Drag Race, that there's like the out of control fandom that affects them too.
Yeah.
Holy shit. It's like the nothing creeping in from the never ending story on all sides.
Yeah. And I hope, I wish that it would change, but it won't.
Well, be mean out there if you have to, but if you are, that's on you.
Yeah.
So Carl, you also are part of a sketch show that I really love, White Women, at UCB Sunset.
UCB Sunset, every second Friday of the month at 10:30, a show called Your Token Friend. We bring in a guest, a person of color, who will come in and we'll interview them, do improv based off of that, and then they'll get up and do improv with us. We've had some really fun guests in the past.
So I said sketch show, but it's an improv show.
Yeah, we haven't done sketch in a while.
Oh, okay.
Some of the last sketch we've done has actually been in like your show. Like when we did
which show was that?
Maximilian.
Oh, fuck. I almost didn't swear for a second because I still think radio rules. That's right. I was that was the 10-year anniversary, Maximilian Blanc.
Yeah.
We had to pull together. We had to pull together on the 10-year anniversary of all the earliest shows at UCB from 2005. They're like, do it again in 2015. And then I'm like, some of those people aren't doing comedy anymore.
Yeah.
So we tried to approximate it as best we could.
It was fun. Our sketch in that show was one of the guys just came back from, like, he'd been living away. And all of his friends have now become cops, like Invasion of the Body Snatcher. All of his friends are cops now.
Yeah, that's right.
We were like, drink the soda, drink the beer.
Who was the guy coming back?
It was
that Iffy?
It was Madge. It was Madge.
It was Madge.
Yeah, yeah.
That was a fun time. Always love seeing you guys around, and good to see you here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for being on. Where can people find you on Instagram?
On Twitter and Instagram at Damn It Carl, DammitCarl.
Yes, that's it. It's so. At Damn It Carl.
Yeah.
And I have to look it up manually because I've forgotten. So don't you forget it. Damn It Carl.
Thank you.
Yes, it's me, Elon Musk again. I just, I'm loving buying some of these ads. It's such so cool. It's just fun. I wanted to just let everybody know and just kind of brag that I figured out how to put the video game Cuphead into the Tesla automobiles on the screens inside of Tesla Motors cars. And people are asking me, why would you do such a thing? Cuphead is such a maddeningly infuriating video game, probably infamously the most difficult video game since Qbert. And it's already takes a lot of concentration to drive a car. Well, the answer is that we're entering the age of self-driving cars. And I think it's good to give people something to do instead of driving. They can play a video game that they can't win, and Cuphead definitely is that. And also, we're trying to figure out a way to hook up the drivetrain system of the Tesla to your performance in the game of Cuphead. And since Cuphead is a little bit of a difficult game, it might be difficult at first, but we're automatically downloading Cuphead into a random selection of 100 different Tesla automobiles that are already out there. So you might be one of the lucky drivers that instead of the interface of a normal Tesla automobile, suddenly you turn your car on and it starts going, and then you're playing Cuphead. But if you start winning, your car starts driving the right way. And if you start losing, it could skid off of a freeway into a... It could skid off a freeway into a fast food restaurant, or it could accelerate at high speeds until it hits the Pacific Ocean and then just sort of like flies out to your death. Dum-dum-dum-ka-diddly-dum-dum-ting-ting, Cuphead. It's great. It reminds me of the old cartoons.
That's the Underculture, folks, episode 5. Thank you for listening us to these 5 weeks. We're going to keep going. Please support us on Patreon. We're paying all of our guests. That was the hilarious Carl Tart. You can keep up with him if you're in LA or you're visiting LA. You can see him in the great, great, great improv group, White Women. They do a lot of shows at UCB. They've got a lot of fun stuff coming up soon. So please support Carl Tart. Follow the other stuff he's doing. And if you want to, follow him on Instagram at Damn It Carl. And it's Damn It spelled like the Yosemite Sam way. It's D-A-M-M-I-T. Damn It Carl on Instagram. Finally, here we have this. We've been so excited about this. We're getting these songs. People are responding to the songs. And it's like a feedback loop. People respond to the songs. And then they go, oh, I could leak a song. So we've got a mole inside the Biden campaign. And we have an advanced copy of him trying out his campaign song for 2020. I don't know if they're going to go with this, but I hope they do. Hit it. Look, it's such an honor to have everybody here on board with Biden 2020. They dump some bad news on us like a scoop of chocolate right in the lap. We've had a good rollout of the campaign, and gosh darn it, just the last week, we slipped a little bit in the polls there in the CNN poll. We're just down 7 points. This touching stuff, you don't mind it. You see, I've had my hands on three of your shoulders here right now, talking to you here. Not one of you has said anything to the press. Let's try out some songs. I want songs that are going to steer right into it. I want a song that's going to help me spin this bad news cycle and turn it around. And look, if there's a good ice cream reference in there, let's do that too. What do you say? What do you say, sweetheart? You want to hit that here? Let me put my hand over your hand as we just press play on this one. That's it. It's a vinyl. Oh, you like the way it spins, huh? Biden 2020. There it is. Biden 2020. This goes out to the gals. Sitting on a park bench, eyeing little girls with bad intent. Oh, it's hot, yeah. Da 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 da. Scoops running down his nose.
sticky fingers smearing shabby clothes. Now that's what a soft serve will do. Hey, Aqualung! Drying in the cold sun, watching as the frilly panties run. Oh, we're running for president, right? Hey, Aqualung! Feeling like a dead duck, tell me about it. Spitting out pieces of his broken lot. Hey, Aqualung! Biden 2020. Sun streaking cold, an old man wandering lonely. I know the feeling. Taking time, the only way he knows. With two scoops of Rocky Road. Leg hurting bad as he bends down to pick a dog, and he goes down to the bog and warms his feet. I choose to read that in a sexual tone. Da-ba-da-da. Feeling alone. I know the feeling. The army's up the road, right there in Arlington. Salvation a la mode and a cup of Joe. Yeah, babe. Aqualung, my friend, don't you start away uneasy. You poor old sod, you see, it's only. That stands for sodomite, right? Yeah, okay, good. That's good. We get the gay community. Got everybody into this big tent movement. You know what I mean? Do you still remember December's foggy freeze? There's more ice cream when the ice that clings onto your beard with screaming agony. When you touch your eyes, killing Glaxboros with deep sea diver sounds, and the flowers bloom like madness in the spring. Oh, yeah, it's hot. Sun streaking cold, an old man wandering lonely. I've been there, taking time the only way he knows. Stumbling between one ice cream scoop and a broad, they bends down to pick the dog in. He goes down to the bog and warms his feet. Again, you can have sex like that. Whoa, feeling alone. The army's up the road. Salvation a la mode and a cup of Joe. Aqualung, my friend, don't just start away uneasy. You poor old sod, you see, it's only me. Joe Biden. Yeah. Wow. You know what this band needs? Somebody playing flute. Am I wrong? You know, you say this, they said you did the other thing. I don't remember what I did 20 years ago. 20 years ago, I was swinging around. I had a dungeon, for God's sake. I had a dungeon downstairs in the townhouse. People say, hey, they cringe at that. You know, everybody was down there was one of them. They were all, everybody was strapped in with Velcro, I tell you.
Oh, yeah, got good hair there, baby. Let me get a sniff of that. What is that, vanilla? I tell you, I want to go down to the state of Georgia and just grab everybody. Anybody, when's the last time Sherman burned Atlanta to the ground? I just want to go down. I want to touch it. I want to just gently push Atlanta to its knees. And if it wants to do something while it's down there, then let it go for it. You know what the abbreviation for Delaware is? I'll tell you exactly. D-E-D-E. D-E-D-E-D-E. D-E-D-E-D-E. D-E-D-E. Aqualung, my friend, don't just start away uneasy. You poor old sod, you see, it's only me. I love getting the word sodomite into a campaign song. It's hateful, but it brings them in. Biden 2020. Hot Biden 2020. Deca de Bukita. Sitting on a park bench. Eyeing little girls with bad
bad intent. I don't regret anything I've done, in Congress or out. Snot running down his nose. You got a cone, it's gonna leak. Sticky fingers smearing shabby clothes. Hey, Aqualung, drying in the cold sun, watching as the frilly panties run for president. Hey, Aqualung, woo! Feeling like a dead duck, spitting out pieces of his broken lung. Hey, Aqualung. Oh, yeah.
Tiki-tiki-bop-bop.
Anybody want to help me rub this one out? Da-da-da-da-da-da. Oh, Aqualung. Biden 2020.
I like this one. I think it puts a good spin on some bad news that they forced on us in the last couple of weeks. Call this Jethro Tull and make sure he hasn't endorsed Bernie yet. And if he's got a couple of young gals with him, you know, as long as the paperwork's good, bring him on through. All right, everybody, let's go out there and win this unlosable election.
Please leave your message.
Hey, why don't we call it Amtrak Lung? Amtrak Lung, my friend, don't just start away uneasy.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey, with associate producer Alex Honnett. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcast.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.